Uranian Shard to help select the appropriate person for this position.
Steve, thanks for the question. We haven't figured out, we're not at the interview process piece yet. We have to work on some questions, and as Cheryl has said in the past, she used the feedback from all of you to inform the posting. As for the interview process, we're not at that place at this point, but we'll definitely, if you have suggestions about that, we would entertain having, we probably wouldn't do a small committee. We usually have an interview panel of about three folks, so you know, we're certainly willing to take suggestions from you on how to approach that, or whether there's somebody in particular that you want representing this group.
Are there specific state personnel, I'm sorry, Steve, are there specific state personnel rules with regard to interview committees?
Yeah, that's, we'll probably need to check on that, Al, and get back to you for kind of what that process looks like. That's why I'm saying I don't want to commit to anything, but we're willing to take suggestions, and probably need to make sure that we have, you know, we look to have a diverse committee. We don't share who's on the interview committee either. That's, you know, not something that we will be putting out ahead of time. So, again, I can't say we're going to use this person, but if you have suggestions, we're willing to entertain them. I think, Al, that's, to me, that's part of the process, is not really sharing, because then, you know, yeah, folks might have an unfair advantage.
Agreed. The reason I
want to make sure that
I have participated on interview panels in the past, and was informed that there are certain rules with regard to that, and enforce confidentiality of it, I understand, is paramount. But yeah, that's why I was asking, because there are specific state personnel rules with regard to who may or may not serve on a an interview panel. So thanks for that, Amy.
Right, and in addition, we want to make sure that we have as diverse a panel as possible, so that we have an open and fair and competitive process. So, you know, our job is always to balance all of that and make sure that we're meeting all of those pieces. But again, open to suggestions if you have them, and we will do what we can within the bounds of the personnel rules.
Well, I would like to suggest to Alan that we get together, however he wants to do it, to decide who we should try to get on the BSBE advisory board to make sure it truly represents all of the people we're serving.
Sure.
Whether you have two or three people, or just yourself or Amy, but to decide, for example, do we have somebody representing the elderly population, or do we have somebody, I mean, not a specific slot, but somebody who can, whatever it is, or if it's deaf blind or however, I think we need to get broader perspectives on the advisory board.
Agreed, yeah. I'll find a way to work that out. Amy?
Yeah, Al, we'll do a little bit more research on that, and we can get back to you specifically about kind of what we can do, and then you can kind of go from there with the board.
That sounds excellent. Thank you, Amy. Further questions for Amy or Cheryl? Or Andrew, for that matter, why should they have all the fun? Going once, going twice. All right, with that, we're going to close this item of the agenda, and I just want to state as an administrative matter that I took a look at how many people are on this call and how many of them were board members, and we do not have a quorum. So other than the minutes, which we accepted by acclamation, we cannot do any action items. But we are certainly able to hear from the Bureau program, and I see the rest of the agenda doesn't appear to require any votes. If it did, we wouldn't be able to.
This is Andrea Giudice. Did you get? I had a very difficult time getting in. I couldn't get in on Zoom. I couldn't get in on Teams. And anyway, I'm here now. I've been here
Thank
actually for a while,
but
I didn't know how to get in, so I didn't know if you knew I was here.
Okay, thank you. No, we did not.
I'm sorry. It took me like a half an hour to get in, so I apologize. But I'm here now.
Okay,
I've been here for a bit.
No worries, because we now have a quorum. So thank you for that, Andrea. And
you're welcome.
Welcome back, and I hope
I hope
things are going better for you.
A bit. It'll be a struggle, but it's a bit better than it has been. Thank you.
Good. I'm very glad to hear that. All right. So with that, once again, if anybody has any questions, further questions for Amy or Cheryl. Now's your opportunity.
And Al, if not, I'm going to sign off. I'm not going to be staying on for the rest of the meeting, but I'll check in with Cheryl and Andrew just to get any updates.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Amy. Thanks for coming.
Thank you all.
All right, moving on then. Our next item of business is the Bureau Program update, and I'm going to go in alphabetical order here. So, Tyrell, you have the floor with the BEP report.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. Good morning, all. BEP programs beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Our program's been working hard in reinventing our ability to operate day to day in spite of the reduced population observed through telework allowance within state government. Our program specifically continues to strategize for future opportunities while working closely with our existing managers day to day to ensure our offerings are aligned with the population we have to serve and also customer needs. I'd say to date we have 20 locations out of 22 locations in operation, which is really good. Legislative office building and 450 Columbus Boulevard snack stands both remain closed. Actually, the LOB we're preparing to reopen as they're starting to I think resume the tours in the legislative office building, and that was really essentially where all of the operators' profit came from, those tours. So we're working on that. We do have a micro market set up in 450 Columbus Boulevard in replacement at this time of the cafeteria. So 450 Columbus Boulevard remains receiving services or food services. And we are constantly monitoring the weekly populations in each of our buildings that we currently occupy. In spite of, having majority of our operations resume, we did, our program unfortunately had to close a few more facilities, I think, since the last time I gave an update. In particular, we closed Middlesex Courthouse, Middlesex Community College, Manchester Community College, if I didn't mention that previously, New Haven Courthouse, and we used to operate the concessions at the Department of Transportation, and we unfortunately had to close those locations as well. Again, it goes by population. In business, you have to have a population to serve. It's not being observed. Those operators who no longer resume those operations have either retired or we have been able to transfer them to different locations that have been observed to be much more profitable than their prior operations. So it is, it's sad news, but it's also good news. And I guess the confirmation to ensuring that the decision was correct in closing is the fact that those locations I mentioned all to this day do not currently operate. So it's not a matter of, essentially not meeting the needs. It's looking at it from a business perspective and kind of having the confirmation by outsiders who, at that point, once we waive these locations, have the ability to resume these operations, but just are as well not finding them as viable. So I think, again, it's good and bad news, but I think we're on track of doing some good things. So moving on, while we're looking to rebuild and our program, we were able to create two new federal post office opportunity vending route opportunities. One of our existing operators who ran the New Haven Courthouse concession that I just mentioned closed has been placed as the manager for one of the two routes, which is excellent. Again, the viability that we anticipate will likely be double what he was making at the New Haven Courthouse. This opportunity is in conjunction with a third-party vending company This is a teaming partner opportunity, so it allows the operator to work with the established vending company, whom will, you know, essentially do the functional requirements. However, the manager will act as a liaison between the teaming partner and the post office locations. In addition, the operator will be responsible for on-site visits weekly to ensure vending equipment is functional, clean, items are priced correctly in the machine, they're jam-free. In addition, they're going to meet with each building manager at minimum once a month to ensure customer satisfaction remains while filtering, you know, any suggestions and requests back to the vending partner when required. So I've had ongoing discussions with RSA in regards to this implementation of Opportunity, and they were thoroughly impressed with the fact that we were able to kind of put something like this together while operating through a statewide vending contract, and saw all of the benefits to this essentially being the need not to purchase vending equipment, the need not to look for employee hirings, the need not to expend a lot of funds in regards to merchandise and so forth as food costs continue to rise. You know, partnerships are going to be essential in any business, and I think that's been the key to our program moving forward. So that's one. And then the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors has put it to exercise their first right opportunity to manage the food service at Southern Connecticut State University. We're actively working on drafting a mutual agreement contract between the bidder, which is Sodexo Food Company, and our agency, and kind of creating a formal agreement that outlines the manager's roles and responsibilities, the training, their salary, and the period of contract. So this was huge. This is huge. We're not done yet, but we are, I think, somewhat at the finish line. Thank you to Andrew. Thank you to our agency attorney, Hugh Barber. A lot of legwork into getting this. This could be big in the fact that moving forward, if we can seal the deal with Southern, it will open up opportunities, we hope, in the near future for the three remaining state colleges. So I remain hopeful, and this apparently seems to be something that's going to be favorable to our program and in addition to the operator. So that's big news. Current existing operations, field reps currently are working with, with the operators that have established micro markets. Some of you may have seen in your state facilities. We're looking to broaden those. Obviously, we're heading into, year three of this pandemic. So now is the time that we, remain creative and see what we can do expanding our business while obviously not tinkering to the line of expanding it too large where it's not profitable because there, again, isn't the population. So we're going to start to see if we can kind of take some of these outside food services and bring them into state governments and kind of do some sort of like pop-up shops within our existing operations. We're going to be working with the health department to see what we can do and what we can't do, but I'm hopeful that we should be able to maybe bring in some additional items to expand their offerings. So we're working with the operators in regards to that. Our statewide vending contracts are being strong. Very pleased with what I'm seeing out there for commissions on a monthly basis. We've received in the past 2 months in excess of $60,000 in commission share, which is nice, and we anticipate that to increase over the summer. So we're pleased with this partnership. We do work with Pepsi on a week-to-week basis, and they remain committed and are pleased with what business they've received thus far as well. So we're good with that. So all in all, the BEP program, we continue to take things serious. We're continuing to look in the future. My goal is to provide real viable opportunities while understanding that, along the lines we may lose a few more small ones. It's just the signs of time. However, I think when the dust settles, we are going to be a super strong program as long as I have operators who remain committed and wanting to see the same thing, because the goal is definitely to have operators more invested in their facilities than anyone on the administrative side. And so it's my job to, you know, kind of remind and refresh and restore everyone's confidence in the program. And I think we're headed there. So we should be good.
Great. Thanks for an excellent report, Tyrell. Do we have any questions for Tyrell?
This is Eileen. I have probably three questions. Tyrell, I know that you have excellent rapport with your PEP managers, and so I commend you for that. My questions are, of the 20 or 22 facilities that are currently active, how many of those are micro markets? That's my first question.
Great question. Six are micro market that as to date.
Okay. What about, thank you, my next question has to do with the summer facilities, such as Hammonasset, Rocky Neck, are those open, or what's happening with the seasonal type of facilities?
You know, Eileen, I think that was the best question because I forgot to update one big piece of this, but I'll answer that. Seasonal locations are up and running. Rocky Neck, Gillette Castle, and Hammonasset. But in addition, and this is major, we actually took on a new seasonal location, which is Greenwich Beach. And that is doing phenomenal. It was something that we've never obviously have taken in the past. And that operator was actually an operator who operated at the Norwalk DMV, in which we closed due to, you know, low population and the request of the DMV. So she is doing incredible, and could be one of the strongest locations, seasonal locations we have. So seasonal locations are up and resuming, and everyone to date seems to be pleased with what they're seeing. And the goal of the program, actually, Eileen, is to increase in that area, because I think that's going to be the key to generating real viability, is getting into locations that provide public service and not an isolated agency service. So, doing well.
Good. And of course, the weather's been quite cooperative in that regard.
Absolutely.
Which is a good thing. And my final question is, how many field staff are there?
There is four. We have four field staff, myself, and then we have Tracy Moore, who oversees more or less the vending contract and other areas within our program. So,
thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Eileen. Tara, I have a question for you. With regard to 450 Orleans Boulevard, have you received any customer comments about the micro market?
We have, and actually, we are actually scheduled to have a visit with the third-party vending company Servomation next week. Tracy's heading on this little project within that micro-market to see if we can expand and kind of provide, you know, additional support to the base level offerings. You know, I think the key on my end is I'm always getting weekly numbers. I got to be honest with you, they're very low. I think the average population in that building is 250. That's a building that I believe holds or was estimated to have once had 1,600 to 1,800 people. Right. So 250 people is tremendously low. However, I think, again, we're at the point where what can we do to increase that average sale from the 250 people that we currently support, right? I mean, we can't dismiss the fact that there's only 250. I want to be sure that we're maximizing, you know, the opportunity and the sales from those 250 people. So actually next Tuesday, there's a meeting at 1 o'clock, to be specific, to go over some things and see how we can maybe increase that location. That's a good question.
Thanks. Is Tracy the one with direct responsibility for that particular facility?
No, Tracy's more in line with ensuring that, I don't want to say to make sure that these locations operate in the sense that they look appealing, right? Presentation, yep, ensuring that the vending company, because the micro market, Alan, is being supported by the third party vending company of the statewide vending contract. So Pepsi is using Servomation as their third party vendor. So in turn, when we created these micro markets, we tapped directly to Servomation to see if they would like to partner. So essentially, we already have a good rapport with Servomation, and they understand that we're looking to constantly increase. And so there's been an active communication between both sides in ensuring that products, you know, don't remain the same, and that we're constantly looking to build while also working with the operator. Because truth to the matter is, Servomation can only provide what they can provide. At some point, it's our responsibility as a program, and more importantly, the operator, to want to, you know, push that envelope a little bit more. And I think that's where we're headed. So there should be some expected changes.
I'm very pleased with your marketing efforts. I think that's terrific. Thank you, Charlie Bell.
Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I got two questions for you. One is, how is the recruiting of people for your program going? Are you getting them from Voc Rehab or other resources? Are they being trained in the business field or whatever?
That's a great question. So I have received a couple referrals, and of course, this is just the way life works, right? So you'll get a referral, but it's on the opposite end of the state. You know, there may be an opportunity. There may be an opportunity in Hartford, but I'm getting a referral, which I get a few referrals, but those that are seriously interested and have the experience and have the drive and commitment are in the southern part of the state. So what I've been doing is I've been collecting and kind of retaining these contacts and these referrals. And again, internally, we're preparing for future, hopefully, future opportunities utilizing our first right opportunity. So I'm keeping them in mind. I'm keeping in touch with them. They're keeping in touch with me. And should anyone be a match, and should we have a location in a match, then certainly, you know, our program works in a promotion and transfer opportunity. So we always have to funnel any opportunity through our existing operators before we can go out. But yes, I've been getting a few referrals, and have been in touch and remain in touch.
Yeah, well, great job. Is are there any more rights of refusals coming up this year?
There are. I have a staff member who actually checks the website to see existing contracts. So what we typically do is we have weekly meetings internally, so he'll report. I haven't heard anything at the moment, but we do anticipate a few seasonal locations that really capture our eye for next year, obviously. But, you know, it's a process. And one thing that I want to do is before we go for any big first-time opportunity, because I'm looking big. I mean, there's small locations and operators, but I want true viable opportunities, and I think it'll go a long way through VR as well, because then that, you know, offers them a successful closure. So I'm looking for real opportunities, and the ones that we have our eye on, such as Sherwood Island and Westport, that's big. But the goal is to have someone prepared before we take that opportunity, because the minute we take something new, it's all eyes on the program. It's all eyes on the program. There's an expectation, unfortunately, of, you know, there's going to be some dissatisfaction. There's going to be some hope for failure, and I want to be opposite of any of that. So, and in order to do that, we got to be prepared. And so I'm working on preparation before just, you know, initially exercising first right. But yeah, we take everything serious from here on out for sure.
Yeah. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Tyrell? Going one. Going twice. Thanks, Tyrell.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Voc Rehab. Mary, you have the floor.
Hi, okay, good morning. For Voc Rehab, just to kind of piggyback off now the positions, because we didn't actually mention them in the other update, we did have two retirements in Voc Rehab in the last couple months. We've requested refilling, and it's been approved, but I don't think it's quite, they're quite at that level to post, but we're getting there. They've gone through all the approval processes. One is for a rehab technologist to cover the Hartford area. And the other position is for a bilingual vocational rehabilitation counselor to work out of Windsor, but it will be a statewide position. It will be our bilingual preferred, bilingual in Spanish and English. And, you know, this position also does outreach to our Hispanic and underserved populations. So we're hoping to get that filled because she's, you know, was our last bilingual counselor. And we also have our transition counselor position vacant. One of our transition counselors was promoted to the transition coordinator position back in February. And she's, you know, taken over that role that was once held by Mary Rita. And we're now backfilling into her position, which has also been submitted for approval and approved. And you know, hopefully we'll be seeing our physicians posted shortly. Our VR state plan has been approved and will be implemented starting July 1st. I think I talked about this last board meeting, but Voc Rehab has a 4-year state plan approved, but we're required to do every 2 years an annual 2-year update. And, you know, we went back and changed our goals. We really designed our VR goals very differently, to just kind of make them more innovative, to kind of think more similar to, you know, teleworking, and those have been approved. We did go out for, you know, committee of the board, so some of you were a part of that, along with our state rehab council. So those will all be implemented. July 1st, we'll be retiring our other goals. They've all been achieved. Another update is that we're basically still going into like a hybrid model. You know, some in person, some still virtual for our clients. As far as looking for jobs, as far as meetings. But as time goes on, we're seeing a lot more in person. Activities happening, a lot more employment for individuals going out and working in the field. And as far as summer programs, we're working on developing summer sites for our clients. And so far right now, we have 14 students participating in work-based learning opportunities, and these will be all in person. And that changes by the day. Like we've been getting more and more. We have 6 attending the LEAP program in Vermont in person, one which is going to be a paid vocational counselor, like in training position. And then we have another 11 attending it virtually. So they're doing the hybrid, some virtual, some in person. We have a few clients attending in-person programs out of state. We have one at World Services for the Blind in Arkansas. We have a few at Carroll Center, with a couple more students going into the iWorks program and the college prep program. We have two at the Helen Keller Institute, and we recently just had one person who was attending the Helen Keller personal adjustment training hired, actually, to work at the Helen Keller. So she's actually relocating down to Long Island, New York, and is now gonna be an employee there. I think her role is like a counselor-advocate, so that was kind of exciting. That was a great outcome. Our counselors are back collaborating with the American Job Centers. Again, they're pretty much doing hybrid, some in person, some online, but they're really getting more into the in-person. Our staff are going in a minimum of 1 day a week. We have office space at all 5 of the AJCs and some of their satellite offices: Hartford, Bridgeport, Waterbury, New Haven, and Mottville. So we have a counselor, or sometimes two, going once a week to meet with clients that come into the centers and meet with our client or with our counselors. We actually have a technologist who's providing an in-service training next week on the 20th at the AJC in New Haven. She's going to be doing a blindness sensitivity training, how to work with individuals who are blind, also how to use the technology. All of our AJCs have assistive technology available to our clients when they go into the center, so she's going to give an in-service to the staff there on how to use the technology, so when clients come in and there's nobody from BSBY there, they'll know how to use it.